Did you know that there is no such thing as a must-get recruit? We are on the eve of the Lamar Brown commitment decision. What will he decide to do? You see him on your screen right now, sending this young man to the underworld. By the way, this is his sophomore tape, right? From his 10th grade season. This guy is an absolute special, special, special recruit. A little swim move, get out here, bang. So, Lamar Brown, you could see the athleticism for yourself. Is this the guy that could change the future fortune of LSU football? Maybe. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a must-get recruit. It will always be that way. That's not me saying that there haven't been very critical pieces of LSU football lore that changed the trajectory of the program. I'm not saying that those guys don't exist. What I am telling you, though, is that it's impossible to predict who those actual recruits are. To the point where this idea that you absolutely positively need to land this single player is wrong. It's an absolute wrong train of thought. And I always go back to the in-state argument. Is it true that it's absolutely vital to land most of your in-state recruits? Yes, because LSU has the advantage of being a top five per NFL capita population state, while also being the only Power 5 institution in its state. We talked about this yesterday with our guest, David Schultz, who covers the Sun Belt, talking about how weird it is that LSU is the lone big boy in the state of Louisiana. So you have this big in-state advantage. But I want to show you something that might shock you, that the greatest LSU recruiting class of all time per hit rate was the 2017 recruiting class. And do you notice how many of these kids actually went to Alabama? Devonta Smith, all-time great college football player. Fidarian Mathis, really good player. Christopher Allen, really good player. Keontae Thompson, really good player eventually at Virginia. Brad Stewart was a bust, but Travis Etienne, obviously a guy that we went up against in the national championship game. 2017 class, still one of the best classes of all time. So just because you might lose Lamar Brown tomorrow, and we don't know what he's going to decide to do, you might lose him tomorrow. He might not commit to you tomorrow. That's okay. It is perfectly fine if that were to happen. Because obviously, he's not signing tomorrow. That means he can always flip back, especially considering he is indeed choosing between LSU and another school he's potentially choosing is Texas A&M. Did you know that quite a few Texas A&M commits have ended up at LSU, especially ones with Louisiana ties? Harold Perkins being one of those. Dominic McKinley being one of those. They can always flip back. So there is so much anticipation for tomorrow. But have you noticed, despite me knowing that this commitment date was going to happen for quite some time, I've not spent too much time talking about this, right? So I do think it is because he is a five-star recruit, and it is because he is a difference-making recruit. Today was the first day I really sat down and watched him for a few hours, really, really, really closely, and he is special. I will not lie about it. He is indeed a ball player who I do think could play both sides of the line of scrimmage. This is a rare athlete. But once again, no single player is a must-get recruit. And at the same time, LSU will be fine if he does indeed choose Texas A&M or whatever school he might choose. Who knows? Oregon might swipe in out of nowhere. Huh? So look, it's perfectly fine. And I think you should go to sleep not sweating it. Now, do I think he's going to pick LSU tomorrow? Yes, I do. At this juncture, I do. All right. You know, yesterday, there's a lot of Texas A&M steam. Today, there's a lot of LSU steam. There's no telling what's going to happen tomorrow. So breathe in, breathe out. It's not really that big of a deal. It is a big deal in December. Not a big deal tomorrow. Now, could you see a world where he burns you in the long run? Yeah. More than likely, if you don't land him, he could hurt you. But let's just use this as an example. Let's just say there is a player who is currently the reigning defensive player of the year in the NFL, a near lock to be a future Pro Football Hall of Famer, a guy many consider to be one of the 15 or 20 best NFL players. And he was also a five-star recruit. In fact, the near same exact recruiting ranking as Lamar Brown. And you did not land him. His name is Pat Surtain. Plays for the Denver Broncos. Didn't go to LSU. Guess what happened the next year? There's a guy named Derek Stingley that you landed. So my next point is it's more important to not lose out on a collective of recruits. To not fall out of that consensus top 10 ranking. To not fall behind on your overall NIL picture. Because money is more important now than it ever has been before. And you could see this week, and this is the first time that I have publicly discussed this, even though this has been out here for a while, LSU went and landed another personnel person from Ole Miss. They have been poaching Ole Miss for quite some time now. His name is Kelvin Bolden. Spent some time at Arkansas as well. So knows the SEC from back to front. And he is coming into the staff with a lot of energy and hopefully some new ideas to make our personnel even stronger. So I can't stress this enough. LSU will be fine regardless. LSU will be fine regardless. Now, what about the rest of the state of Louisiana in the class of 2026? LSU is doing really well. Aiden Hall committed, Richard Anderson committed, and so on and so on and so on. Those guys are locked in. State of Louisiana is looking pretty good for 2026 and potentially for 2027 with a bunch of dominoes yet to fall there. And in the transfer portal era, you'll be fine. Now, where it does concern me is that this is a trench player. And I do believe recruiting trenches out of high school is more important than recruiting skill guys out of high school, depending on who the skill guy is, obviously. Like, I would prefer Tristan Keyes, a five-star receiver, over a three-star offensive lineman, obviously. But, you know, I do think trench players do hold a little bit more value. All right? So, coming up here in about 15 or so minutes, we will have my favorite LSU Twitter follower. Well, he does follow me, and I follow him as well. But you should follow him. Preston Guy, who also is a very good, talented writer. He did an interesting poll regarding LSU and their upcoming season. All right. Next thing. I want to talk about the EA Sports video game. I did not purchase it. I won't be doing any video game streams this year. I have a PS5 here that's not been used in 6 months. Kind of want to just give it out. I'm not buying. I probably won't buy it because I'm so focused on, you know, all these different YouTube projects I've been working on for months. And until I start making six figures, where I'm not even close to that mark, I will not probably turn this on until then. All right. I'm not saying that video games can't be a big part of your life. I'm not saying you need six figures to play video games. It's just I want to be rich before I start turning this on again, unless I'm actually using it for content. So, look, I am all for video games. I just won't play it. But I have heard mostly good things. We say hi to LA Mom, who Venmo'd us before the live stream began. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. She says, Carter, I hate to hear Blake say we just can't lose two of the top Louisiana recruits, because that's not true. We absolutely can, and it does not mean that our staff didn't do everything in their power. Yes, and one other thing you do need to factor in is price. Price matters. And the funny thing about it is every last little thing you do in life has a price. And I learned that probably a little too late in my life. I'm still not, I'm not like old, despite what this gray hair show says. But every last decision you have, even if you're given something for free, there was a price paid for that. Whether it's you trying to return a favor, or that person thinking you need to do them a favor for giving you something for free or whatever, everything has a price. But actual money matters more than actual fake money or bag money, because now the numbers are out in front. You see on three NIL evaluations, whether they are accurate or not, you would like to think some of them are directionally accurate. It is so important to factor in price. Okay? You will not know what the final Lamar Brown number will be, but it will be something. So what do we know so far about the 2026 LSU recruiting class? Well, they've already spent money. Tristan Keyes has been very out front about his money regarding his recruitment. He is committed to LSU, by the way. He said, I will take $700,000 for somewhere I could be developed, over $1 million over somewhere that doesn't produce receivers. I'm paraphrasing, basically. There's more to it than just that. I posted the clip a few weeks ago. Trenton Henderson versus Florida, the Florida guys said it was an NIL thing. I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. But use Occam's razor here. What is the most simplest explanation? Well, there's money involved, especially if you're a top 100 recruit. And Trenton Henderson is that, and he does have a five-star ranking per 247. So what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? Well, with the revenue share being $20.5 million, and this past recruiting cycle was the last year you could really just spend wildly on NIL. It was basically uncapped. And then you have, at Big 12 Media Days, the biggest star in college football is Deion Sanders. Nobody is close to Deion Sanders. Not a single soul. The current active biggest star is Deion. He hopefully will change how we do spring games. He is very vocal about that. He was also very vocal today about a college football salary cap, which, like I've said plenty of times, will be very difficult to enforce. But whatever the case may be, Deion Sanders said that today. So as there are more regulations and things become more cap relative, your price really does matter. So what I think is going to happen is that Texas A&M is going to probably offer Lamar Brown more money. And then Lamar Brown is probably going to have to decide, hey, do I want to stay at home and be with a bigger NFL powerhouse, an overall better program with LSU? Or do I want to go to a very, very, very good program away from home, College Station, doesn't hold a candle to Baton Rouge, and go there? A school that also has produced really, really, really good football players. So that's probably what's the decision for Lamar Brown. And it makes sense, right? If you're trying to get a kid from coming out of his own backyard to come to your school, you need to offer that guy a lot of money. And by the way, the thumbnail image is an image from a Jarrett Roser interview. I'm a big fan of Jarrett Roser, Louisiana Versal, y'all. Very good site. Does a lot of interviews, and he's boots on the ground at a lot of these high school events. There are very few who care more about high school sports in the state of Louisiana, than Jarrett Roser. And on top of that, with Robin Fambro, I know I'm not saying her name correctly, a phenomenal high school sports reporter retiring, his work becomes even more important. And you go listen to his interviews, Lamar Brown, he has really waxed poetic about the LSU coaching staff. And it seemed very authentic. So I do think he's going to pick LSU. I do think even if it's just a little bit less money, he's going to want to stay at home. But yeah, go listen to those Lamar Brown interviews from Jarrett Roser. They're really good. Really good. It will be dated by tomorrow, as will this live stream. But I do think this is a very special football player. I do. I really, really, really do. Now, this is where it gets very spicy. And this is where it gets very interesting. And it's very important to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Because based on what I have been told from people more powerful than me, is that Lamar Brown does have a little bit of a Harold Perkins aspect to him, in that he is truly a spectacular athlete. But it is a little ambiguous what his position will be at the next level. I think a high school offensive lineman moves the needle more than a defensive lineman does. Now, obviously, once again, like we said a minute ago, give me Glenn Dorsey over a 3-star offensive lineman all day, every day. And if Lamar Brown is indeed that level, a Tyson Jackson-esque kind of player, then sign me up for that all day, every day. But the value he would give you as an offensive lineman does outweigh the value he would give you as a defensive lineman. I do believe, though, he wants to play defensive line. I do. I do think Kevin Peoples would love to have him and Trenton Henderson. That would be the best LSU edge class potentially ever. I mean, that is a really good group. And I would love that. I would. That's if he wants to do it. And I do think that's what he wants to do. He wants to play defense. Now, after watching him all day, I do think he is better suited for offense. But that's a good problem to have. So, yeah, it is a little bit different because he is, what, 270, 275-ish, 280? Just depends on which site you look at. There would need to be a transformation done on which position he would actually play as far as his body type is concerned. Now, could he play both ways? I don't think so. Not at line. I don't think so. As often as like a Travis Hunter did, because your body type at corner and wide receiver can be a lot more similar, in my mind, than vice versa in the trenches. But I do think he could be a really good defensive lineman, and then you use him as an extra OL hybrid H-back type of player on short yardage situations because he is such an explosive athlete. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. That's a problem or a question way down the road, but I do think he wants to play defense. I do. So he is listed as a defensive lineman on 247, and On3 has him listed as an athlete, which is very unique. Okay. We say hi to Tony the Tiger hanging out with us. Good to see you. Jamie's in here as well. Jamie sends me a message here on Facebook. Oh, it's a photo of Lamar Brown. Cool stuff. Jamie has boots on the ground. Met Lamar Brown. That's really cool. I really enjoyed listening to his interviews, though. One final thing on him that I thought was very fun is he has really good football IQ. I mean, normally quite a few offensive line tapes are just them pummeling 5'6" defensive ends. But there was a lot of him identifying a twist stunt and picking it up and passing off the stunts. A lot of really good feel for reaching to the second level and opening up a crease in the run game. A good understanding of reading what an offensive lineman is trying to do versus you on the defensive side of the football. This is a very well-rounded football player. Now, is he coachable and all those things? I mean, I just don't know him well enough. Once again, today was the first day I listened to interviews, made phone calls, because, you know, doing the cat and pony show for months really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me anymore. But we'll see what happens tomorrow. No matter what, 2026 class is looking pretty good. Now, I do want to bring up one thing as far as the transfer portal is concerned for next year. And I do think LSU needs to be ready to have this conversation because this is as important as any recruiting decision that you have to make regarding 2026. Is that obviously we're still two recruiting classes away from that 2027 class signing the dotted line. And to me, the biggest recruiting story is what LSU is going to do at quarterback, because there's three big options that they have to choose from. And that to me is just still the biggest story. And our guest, Preston Guy, coming up here in a few minutes, it's important to actually go back and listen to the last interview that we did with him. We did a deep dive on all three of them. They just had camped at LSU. And the reason why that's important is, let's just say the Garrett Nussmeier experiment crushes. And let's just say Garrett is a Heisman finalist, which is what a lot of people are predicting. So that would mean Brian Kelly had two different Heisman finalists at QB in a four-year span. LSU would have their pick of the litter if they had wanted to actually go into the transfer portal and go get them a quarterback to start next year. So what I'm hoping for is that stuff costs money. And Austin Thomas does a really good job of having spreadsheets out to figure out how much of the cap you want to use at the QB position. So theoretically, next year, you could be in a situation, if you don't feel good about Van Buren or Colin Hurley or any one of those guys, you're going to have to essentially buy two QBs. Right? You're going to have to buy who you want out of the portal to start for you in 2026. And then at the same time, get whoever you want for 2027. Whether that be Colton Nussmeier, Peyton Houston, and Elijah Haven. Now, I won't get into who of those three I like the most, because it's actually the least popular of those three, but I do like all three of them. They are a lot of fun to watch if you haven't done so already. So to me, that's as important of a recruiting decision as what will happen tomorrow, but we will see what happens there. Now, our guest is in here a little early. We're going to get to him right after a quick break. A very interesting Twitter poll from, actually, it wasn't a Twitter poll. It was a behind-the-scenes poll Preston Guy did. And it is fascinating, the group think regarding LSU next year.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me, as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. All righty, Preston Guy, you already know where to follow him if you're not following him yet. PGuy77 on Twitter. You went and got a consensus. And there's nothing more in life I love than a consensus. And you went and talked to all these different LSU media members. And what did you find?
Yeah, so I got a column written, locked and loaded in the chamber on tigerbait.com. It'll be published tomorrow morning. And, you know, me and Scarborough were kind of debating, as we often do if you ever watch our post-game show. I love to hate on Mike Scarborough. He's one of my favorite guys to work for. But we were kind of butting heads. And Mike, if you follow him, he's very negative. He tries to be fair, but he will see things and get worried about them. Let's put it like that. I try to be not overly optimistic, but when I see things I like, I'm not afraid to beat on my chest. So I thought, I was like, man, expectations got to be pretty high for LSU. In fact, I asked you just to get your calculated opinion of what you thought the media's opinion would be. I thought the consensus would be pretty high on this team, given how much portal talent they've added, Garrett Nussmeier returning. You're looking at the preseason polls going on. LSU should be fair. Yeah, it's not published yet. I'm published.
Yeah. I was just showing the site. Yeah, go ahead.
It's just in the background there. Anyways, I was thinking that expectations must be pretty high for this LSU team. And Mike was like, oh, man, they got problems on offensive line. I was like, yes, but they also, have you seen the edge rushers? Have you seen the receivers? Have you seen the quarterback? So anyways, I kind of just got my curiosity rolling. What is the media's expectation? I thought about it. There hasn't really been too many people going out there and getting the collective opinion of the LSU media. So I reached out and got to 25 local medias. Pretty much, if you can name a local media member, I got them. I mean, there might be a handful missing that I just couldn't get to respond for whatever reason. This can be a little bit like you know, herding cats when we're talking about 25 of anybody. But basically, I waited for the baseball season to end, waited a week for the championship, and I got in people's – I texted everybody I knew. So, spoiler alert, the expectations are pretty high. 16 of the 25 media members I surveyed think LSU goes 10-2. A handful of others. There was only one person to go 9-3 or lower, and that was Garrett Ross, who writes for us at Tiger Bait. He's one of our guys.
Really?
Yeah. One of our guys went. Scarborough went 9-3. I went 10-2. That's where I'm at for now. Now I'm not going to say it's going to be my final prediction. And probably this isn't anybody's final prediction, because we're going to see fall camp and develop opinions accordingly. But, you know, everybody, 10-2 or 9-3, except for one person. And that's a pretty tight consensus. And you were talking about groupthink. And it's what's interesting to me about that is this wasn't us talking to each other.
Right.
You independently reach out to every single person. That's not to say that nobody, like, you know, so like Koki Riley and Scott Rabelais are in there. Maybe they texted each other a little bit about it and got on the same page. Okay, John Eads and Jacques Doucet are in there. Maybe they texted each other a little bit. But again, I made sure to reach out independently to these guys. And I got a pretty strong consensus. And what else I made sure to do was ask them, I said, just a quick nugget about what you like or don't like about this team. And let me tell you, the group think on that was really tight. There was a handful of themes that I didn't even ask for. Things like Clemson. Half of the people I polled mentioned that Clemson game as being a big deal. So it's just kind of funny how tight everybody was. But yeah, expectations remain high. I think there's a lot to like about this team. And the number one theme outside of, you know, everybody picked the record, the number one thing, I think unanimously everybody mentioned they're worried about the offensive line. That was, I think 25 people mentioned offensive line. out of 25.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
So you did say, hey, don't just give me the record. They also gave me a text to you.
I said, hi, I'm trying to put together a local media consensus for predictions on LSU this season. Will you please give me a win-loss prediction and a quick nugget about what you like or don't like about this team? You know what else I found interesting is I asked for a quick nugget, and a lot of these media people, they're just so passionate about it.
They
wrote me novels. Like Jacob Hester, he went to town, man. I mean, you know how like the stereotype is the jock goes to class and skips his homework and shit? Not Jacob Hester, man. I don't know what his grades were, but dude is a hustler now. Maybe that's just after having an NFL career and having five children or whatever, and you know that dad sense of work kicked in. But dude was he wrote a lot. So a lot of these guys, very passionate, wrote me a lot. And it's funny how many of these themes, without asking, like I didn't ask anybody about what you think about the schedule being tough. Lots of people mentioned that. I didn't ask anybody what game you have highlighted on your calendar. Everybody highlighted Clemson. More than half the people responding mentioned that Clemson game as being a big deal. So, I think it's an interesting piece that y'all will enjoy reading tomorrow. Of course, I'll talk about whatever here. I don't mind spoiling it.
No. I highly recommend everyone go tigerbait.com. I didn't, you probably don't know this, but I used to co-host Buddy Sanji's show.
No, I did know that. Yeah, someone told me that the other day.
Okay, yeah. I never actually told you that. Co-workers or whatever. Buddy, he used to do, I don't remember where this place was or even if it's still open in Baton Rouge. I used to collect stuffed animals when I was little. He used to do a show from a stuffed animal store.
Like the TY stuffed animals?
But this store, I had no idea how he even sold the sponsorship.
It's a niche audience, man.
Dude, I was like, buddy.
Buddy's a hustler, though, when it comes
to yes. And we would do the show, and there was a 7-foot-tall stuffed giraffe that we would do the show. And he was like, Carter, one day I'm going to get you that.
Did he ever get it for you?
No, but he compensated me well. I was like crazy. It was like crazy. I was like a college student, and he was paying me to co-host the show. I thought that was just the coolest thing. And I'm still friends with Buddy to this day. But the LSU media. Do you mind me sharing the thing that blew my mind? Because you reached out to me about this.
Yeah. I just was curious. I was like, well, we were talking about, I think you got in an argument or something. So I was just talking to you about what happened with that. And then I was like, hey, you have no idea. Yeah. I wonder what you were expecting. And you told me, you said 9-3 is what my guess would be for media, which I was a little surprised to hear your response to that. Maybe a lot of people will. But the average was 9.62 wins. 9.62 averaging and out. Yeah. So that's pretty tight. I mean, there's a lot of cautious optimism with the media. And of course, if you compare the media's response to my LSU Twitter poll I did asking fans, I think 85% of people went like 10 wins or more, with like 30% of people saying 11-1. Not one person went 11-1 with the media. So there's optimism and cautious optimism at that. I don't think people were being necessarily homers, and you got to understand a lot of these people I'm polling, they're not like LSU grads. Like John Eads, he went to Syracuse. He's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, certainly I think when you cover a team, certainly part of you wants to see the people you're covering win deep down. But I don't think there's like just this intrinsic bias. Like there probably are homegrown reporters, like, you know, myself included in that I fight hard to fight back my bias. But I mean, I'm a third generation LSU alum, you know, okay, there's going to be some stuff I fight back. But even the out of town guys were still having a lot of cautious optimism.
But this is interesting. All right. Because there's a difference between average and median. Mm-hmm. All right. This was the most interesting thing. Is that 16 of the 25 people said 10-2.
Yep.
Right. So that's a high amount. That is a really, really high amount of people saying 10-2, because I would tell you 9-3. That's where I see this team right now, which would not be good enough for the playoff. But – 16 of the 25 picked 10 and 2. One picked 11 and 1, right?
No one picked 11 and 1.
Not one.
So the tally is 16, 10, and 2. I guess that would make 8 for 9 and 3 and 1, 8, and 4.
That's insane to me.
Very little diversity.
That is insane to me.
Yeah. By the way, I want to address something you just said real quick.
I think
it's an important note. 9 and 3 not making the playoff. I actually did a breakdown of what LSU would have made the playoffs going in the last few years, right? And I used their ranking in the respective polls that meant something.
Okay. So not the final college
football. Not the final. No, yeah. The regular season final, right? And of years where LSU goes 10 and 2, 100%. And this is since 2000, by the way, since the 12-game era started, right? 10 and 2 gets in 100% success rate. In fact, comfortably in most of the time. Hell, LSU was in the national championship one year going 10 and 2.
Yeah.
At 9 and 3, LSU's gone 9 and 3, let's see, what's that, 10 times. And they made it in. They were good enough to make it in twice. So there's an outsider shot.
Right.
And by the way, another note I've added, a lot of these media I'm talking to, they say, well, 9-3, but actually looking at it, I think this team would be good enough to make it in the playoffs despite going 10-3. Because, I mean, Carter, there's 7 teams that'll be ranked in the preseason top 25. Or at least close to it. If not, like maybe a team like Ole Miss is at 26. You get what I'm saying?
But there's
7 of them. And, you know, to say LSU couldn't reel off a win or two that's impressive enough to put them in,
yeah.
I'd say this schedule has the potential to get in at 9-3. It has the potential. It's not to say it's guaranteed. You got to think of it. A good example is a team like 2018 LSU, right? 2018 LSU lost 3 games, got upset there at the end at Texas A&M in 7 overtimes, but because of the wonky loss, because of how that team was, you know, ultimately how that offense was developing, as people could see at the beginning of the year, it wasn't great, but you had a big win over Miami. You beat number 2 Georgia. You beat the crap out of Georgia.
Yeah.
And you had an ugly game against Alabama. That team would have been in. I also question, I had 2023 LSU out. But Carter, don't you think they would have said Jaden Daniels? But I had them listed as out. But I swear on the life of you, there's no way the committee is leaving out a 9-3 Jaden Daniels. The TV is just too flipping good. So maybe there's a third option in there. Anyways, but yeah, no, I have the tweet I put out a year ago on that linked in the story, by the way. LSU would be in 20% of the time at 9-3.
Okay. Yeah. And what's weird is, I know everyone says your record says what you are. I don't fully agree with that. I don't think anyone, you know, some will take me thinking that they're going to be a 9-3 team as an insult. It's not. Like, this is for you. Is this one of the tougher schedules you've seen LSU have?
In the preseason, for sure. But, Carter, the thing to understand is how many teams don't pan out the way we think they are. You know, one of the things that stood out to me, so I do a little sim prediction of the playoffs on College Football, the video game, right? Last year I put it out, and I was looking at that because now it's been exactly a year. And, you know, of course, LSU went 8-5. That's not the point. The point is one of the comments on that was, this thing has Indiana going 11-3. Yeah, this thing's crazy. Don't worry about that. It's stupid. Well, Indiana went 11-2.
It's crazy.
And I was like, bro, this comment aged like milk. So that's why, yeah, no, the preseason schedule. In the preseason, this looks like one of the most daunting schedules, albeit not a top-heavy schedule. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So in that post that I linked to there, there's a comment in there saying Indiana going 11-2. That's just no way. By the way, I did do a resim and LSU went 7-5 this year, so not much better.
Whoa!
Yeah, there it is. There it is, right there.
That is insane. Wow, that is in freaking insane. What are you doing, bro?
Look, Heath's a good guy, I'm sure, but you know, that's just hilarious. Which, look, that's a very reasonable comment to make July 16th, 2024, year of our Lord. You know what I'm saying? But like,
that is
it's just funny how you can't really judge the schedule based on the preseason. I will say, man, I would like to – LSU's – Brian Holland at BR Proud, the you know, NBC
– TV affiliate. Reporter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He mentioned that this regular season could be tougher than 2019's regular season. It's one of the things we all talk about, the seven top 10 teams LSU beat, but three of them came in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I will contend, and you won't pop up LSU schedule again if you have it handy. I will contend, okay, this is not a top-heavy schedule. It's just a very how many of these teams – I mean, Clemson's going to start out high, okay, but I have reason to believe LSU could beat Clemson, and Clemson isn't as good as we think they are, ranked number two. I mean, we're talking about a four-loss team just like LSU last year, okay? And they didn't get all the portal additions like LSU. Sure, Cade Klubnik's very, very good, but so is Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, there's not a team on this schedule. Let's put it like this. And I hate to be like this, but we talked to Mike about the ceiling. Ceiling's 12-0. Ceiling is 12-0, okay? It is. There's not a team on this schedule that truly would scare me. There's no Texas. There's no Ohio State. You know, there's no Georgia on the schedule. You know, most of those top 10 teams you've dodged, and Alabama will probably be a top 10 team, but are you truly convinced? Would you bet on your life Alabama is going to be like a Saban-era Bama team this year?
Oh.
There's not a team on this schedule you could not convince me that LSU has a chance to win. And I'm trying my hardest not to be a homer, but that's how I see it. There's not a team you couldn't convince me. Like, get a few drinks down and I might be right there with you. Hell yeah, man. We're going to kill Bama. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, do you believe in Ty Simpson at Alabama? I mean, do you believe in Keelan Russell? Frankly, do you believe in Kalen DeBoer at Alabama? Because, I mean, he's had one season, you know, and went 9-4. So, you know, I think that a lot of LSU struggles last year were about LSU not being as good a team as it should have been last year, not necessarily how tough the teams were a year ago. And I, you know, I think that LSU will be a new look, better team. Offensive line concerns me, but yeah, ceiling's 12-0, but the floor is 7-5. You could take out and go 7-5. That's also, I mean, if you're just not as good as what I'm thinking, if offensive line looks like it looked in the spring, yeah, 7-5 is very realistic because there's a lot of teams who will beat your butt if you're not careful.
Preston, he's here.
Who's here?
The Master.
Blaster, huh?
Blaster. All right.
Oh. Is that like your brother, Carter Bryant and Tony Bryant?
No, we are not related. Mm. You would think, but like he's actually like jacked. Yeah. Ripped. All right.
Well, you're kind of ripped.
No, I'm not.
I've seen your furry chest on your workout videos.
Right. Okay. Yeah. What I will tell you though, all right, because you love a good sports story, all right, but you love sports stories for the common man, all right. Tony is a religious bowler, all right. Religious, has been hitting the lanes for decades now. Had a chance to roll a 300.
My dad has a trophy from when he bowled a 297 once upon a time.
Oh no, he had a 290. Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing worse. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for your dad. Mm-hmm. You see, so now me bringing that up is bringing up scars from your childhood.
Because he doesn't seem too upset about it. He's pretty proud of that, actually. But yeah, 297 is rough.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't scar him like it does Tony.
No, he's pretty proud of it. Like, you know, he has the trophy out, and this is probably from like the 70s or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, but, no, he used to be a very good bowler.
You're three pins away. You're three pins away from immortality.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I would probably, that would keep me up at night, man.
Yes. Yes. And he has, Tony said, Tony said that's worse than me. Tony's got that 298. So we need Does your dad still hit the lanes?
Not only occasionally, very rarely. Yeah. Really? My dad's a man of fickle interest. He picks up interest for about 6 months at a time. He goes hardcore into them, man.
Okay.
But yeah, he's more of a biker nowadays. Loves biking, man. He has like $2,000 Trek bike.
Oh, one of the Like, well, like a cyclist, basically.
No, yeah, he's a good cyclist. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He'll go 15 miles around Tiger Stadium. Oh yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So we need your dad versus Tony to go head to head.
A bowling and biking competition.
Yes. Yes. Hey, look,
my dad's 65, so I don't know how old Tony is, but when you know for a 65-year-old, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah. If he's still biking. Do you get on the cycle with him?
So I did actually. I had my own Trek bike that he got me, but it got stolen out of my garage, believe it or not. So now
what?
Yeah, I'm very upset about it. Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, was your garage open or what the hell?
I think my garage is open all the time. Are you kidding me, man? Like, it's like leaving the cabinet open. But yeah, no, I've made sure to get some tighter security on my garage here as of recent. You know, check the camera at night, make sure we didn't forget it. You know what I mean? It's like you lock the door of your house and you just kind of forget to check that garage. Or, you know, maybe you're cutting the grass and it's, who knows, man? But I do know this. I checked all my camera footage and I couldn't find when that person came in. I just looked up and the bike was gone one day. So real bummer. So yeah, we used to bike all the time, but after I lost that bike, I kind of lost my spirit for it. I got me a fishing rod instead.
Baton Rouge will always let you down, bro. Mm-hmm. It'll always let you down. Damn. This is worse than the 297. I got to go to bed knowing that we never solved the mystery of who the hell stole Preston Nice Guy's bike. That is BS.
Yeah, man. It's just, I don't even, I hope the bike is being put to good use by someone. I hope someone loves it as much as I loved it. That's all I got to say. It had suspension on it. It was a nice mountain bike, man. $700, you know, it was a good bike. Yeah. Not anymore, but they left my wife's bike, which I thought was funny.
And the
$100 bike from Walmart they left.
Oh, okay. So they knew what they were doing.
Probably, which implies a level of education, don't you think? like a level of, this was maybe a little premeditated, you know? Maybe this was like a serial bike thief who's like, no, don't go for the Schwinn. Okay, the Schwinn, that's a cheap one. You see the suspension? That's Trek. That's name brand. This could be a serious criminal. And mind you, did it in a manner in which I couldn't notice on my Ring camera. Mind you, it's not the best angle of the garage. I can't see in the garage. But I didn't see anything. And I checked every clip that had been recorded on the motion sensor for 6 months before it. I was like, there's no way it's been gone for 6 months. I checked every clip. I don't know what to tell you, bro. I don't know. This could be a very sophisticated thief we're talking about.
What in the Dexter Morgan is this?
Yeah, it's very Dexter-esque. There was like Saran wrap all over the garage too. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No trace? No fear? Was this Tom Cruise who freaking dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun?
It just disappeared like Chris Hilton in the regular season. Don't like that one? Oh, Carter, come on.
I mean, God, a random Chris Hilton stray?
Hey, look, Chris Hilton's due for a big year, man.
Okay, all right.
Here's the deal. Let me tell you this. The reason I kind of crack a joke on him, in practice, every year we are hyping him up. He's so flipping good, particularly with Nussmeier throwing him the ball. And then in the regular season, he disappears, but for a meaningless bowl game, brother's right back at it. I'm like, I told you we aren't lying, but I do think Chris Hilton is due for a big year, especially because he's going to have a lot of good support. I think he's got wide receiver one potential written all over him, and we've seen it. We've seen it in practice all the time. But anyways, I had to think of someone who disappears.
No, but who
who's the next best disappearing act that this chat's going to appreciate?
Well, the chat didn't appreciate it. Because look, as someone who has also been critical of Chris –
yeah,
I will also defend him. It wasn't just a meaningless bowl game. He did go off versus OU as well. And I give him credit.
Fair.
What's good. So I'm with you on the Chris Hilton.
Let's put it like this. I'm not very critical of Chris Hilton when he's on the field playing. I think he's been a fine player. It's just has been hurt or missing, whatever, you know. Now, look, I'm going to tell you this, though, and I even talked to Mike about this. Most of the time when they announce who's going to media day, it's a nothing burger most of the time, okay? Nussmeier, that's a nothing burger. It's your quarterback. No duh, he's going, okay? Whit Weeks, no crap, he's going. He's your star linebacker. But when Chris Hilton is jumping over a lot of proven commodities, I think that means something. I don't think they want to send someone out there, you know, representing your program if they think he's about to ride pine all year, or if they think that they question, and you know, they question his toughness or whatever. It means they don't do those things. So the fact that Chris Hilton is representing LSU, I ran this by Scarborough. I was like, that's not nothing, is it? That means a little something that he is going to media days. I think it shows that he's got his head screwed on. Coaches like what he's doing, and they expect big things from him this year. So I really do think this is the year he kind of puts it all together. Because, I mean, look, the Chris Hilton deep ball from Nussmeier, it is a thing of – I just wish what we saw in practice would more regularly appear on the field.
Tony says he's definitely that down for the ball. And here's the thing. Pierce is a Zachary super fan and a Chris Hilton super fan, and he has just admitted that he was the bike thief.
Oh, man. Well, I guess Pierce earned it now because I kind of deserve it after
that. Yeah, you can do and Pierce has been rocking with me for a while.
Yeah.
Well, Preston, we appreciate you. Before we let you go, do you have a Lamar Brown prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think LSU's in really good shape with Lamar Brown. Don't overthink the Texas A&M love tweets and all that jazz. LSU's been on him for 4 years now. He's at U High. All indications are, and by the way, LSU's also been open to the idea of him playing both ways, which is important. I've talked to Lamar Brown. I talked to him right after Travis Hunter won the Heisman. And let me tell you, he was excited about going both ways in college. And if you watch Lamar Brown's film, I don't know if you've ever done anything on him. Kid's elite, man.
No, he's good. Yeah.
And I don't know which side of the ball he's going to end up being at. I think probably early on people were thinking D-line, and I think as he's developed, a lot of people are saying, no, that's an offensive lineman, but we'll see. Maybe he pulls off both. I would suspect if he pulls off both, then he's a starting caliber player at both. What we end up seeing is him playing like offensive line full-time and then like coming in situationally on the defensive line. Because I don't know that you can do that. I don't, because receiver, okay, Travis Hunter did that. Receiver, you know the ball's not coming your way. You can take some plays where you're kind
of
getting a little bit of a rest. Yeah, I don't know that you can necessarily do that on defensive line. Offensive line, I will say, is less tiresome than a lot of positions, especially pass blocking is not super tiresome. But at the same time, you need to be ready to rock and roll on any play. I mean, you might get a bull rush, a blitz, and have to do crazy stuff. There's just no situational rest, as I guess, in those positions. So anyways, I have a good feeling about him. And I have a good feeling that this 2026 class should wrap up strong. They're going to have to go out of state and get some guys to fill up because as top-heavy as Louisiana is, I think there's 9 4-stars in the state of Louisiana in 2026. So not as much depth as we're used to seeing, but certainly a lot of good top-end talent.
All right, PG. We'll see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Carter. Talk to you soon, man.
PGuy77. Is where you can follow him on social media. Now, dude, the Chris Hilton trade was out of nowhere. Here's the thing. I don't mind a joke. I think if Chris was watching, he'd probably get a chuckle out of it because I don't think he would think Preston meant it in malice, per se. It hit me like a ton of bricks. So. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Oh, man. Oh, man. I will say this, though. As far as Chris's next season, health is going to be a big deal. It is important to point out, though, is like the best receivers with Garrett Nussmeier have had a growing pain period with Garrett Nussmeier for that connection to eventually gel, right? You saw with Tre'Davious Green before you had this big game, of course, versus Baylor. There was missed targets, misfires. Aaron Anderson and the Garrett Nussmeier targets from the year before, in particular, weren't smooth in mop-up duty in 2023. You would have never thunk it would be one of the SEC's better connections, which it was. So I am really excited about Chris next season. It's going to be really hard for a year five, north of 2.3 yard per route run receiver, who is a top 100 recruit with elite speed, barring another injury, it's going to be really hard for him to not have a good year. Like really, really, really hard. But we'll see. We shall see. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. I am indeed making the trip to Baton Rouge tomorrow. My family is in town, so I do not think we'll be doing a live stream tomorrow. But that does not mean we won't have a video coming out tomorrow. So it won't be a live stream. If Lamar Brown commits, I will do a film study. So you, if he does commit, you will get a Lamar Brown film study tomorrow. And I will show you why I think he is a really, really, really good football player. Now, here's the thing. Let's say he does commit to Texas A&M. Like we said earlier, there is a really good shot that he flips back or flips to LSU. Because here's what happens. If you're offered more money by Texas A&M, and let's say you are from Louisiana, time before actual signing day will tell you, look, is it worth an extra $250K for me to travel all the way to Texas when all my family can just hop, skip, and a jump to watch me play every Saturday? You start doing some calculations in your own mind. You're like, yeah, it'd be good to play closer to home. So what happened with Bryce Underwood, but not with LSU? So I hate to downplay tomorrow, but it really isn't as big of a deal as some have made it out to be. We'll generate a lot of clicks, though. Final thing. Big day for all of us. Or should I say, a majority of us. Angel Reese on the cover of a video game. So she's in a Cardi B song 2 years ago, on the cover of a video game today, signature shoe released by Reebok. But all people want to do, I saw Jake Crane do this, it's just shit on her. It's just post her bad clips. When she has been playing the best basketball of her career the past couple of weeks. But only the bad clips. Only the bad quotes. I do not care if you are critical of anyone, such as the Chris Hilton stray a minute ago. But you must be fair. You must be fair. Because here's the thing about all these people that post bad Angel Reese clips. Is for some reason, and I haven't seen Jake Crane's social media posts or anything like that. He's not posted, and I should go look at his Twitter. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But he's not posted the bad Caitlin Clark clips for some reason. Caitlin has not been playing well lately, and I'm a Caitlin Clark fan. In fact, my diehards know this. The most criticism I've received was when I talked about how Caitlin Clark was a huge net positive for LSU, even though she did beat us in her final season at Iowa in the NCAA tournament. Huge net positive for LSU. But she's not playing well. She's been hurt. They lost it. They lost today. They got blown out. They're under 500. So for some reason, it's a lot of my friends from all different backgrounds troll me about my defense of Angel Reese, because everybody from every background makes Angel Reese jokes, missed the layups, the rebounds, all of it. But they don't get nefarious with it like many do on social media. All I got to say is you have to praise her when she is playing as one of the best players in the WNBA and making her second All-Star team in as many years.
Okay.
Let's go to Tony in the Super Chat. What do you say about Texas Tech calling out Brian Kelly and challenging us to a home-and-home? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Now, I know a lot of you would be concerned. Hey, Carter, do you know Texas Tech is being funded by a billionaire in Cody Campbell? Yeah, one of my really good friends wrote the big story on it, Shehan Jayaraja. Cody is a very talented guy. So, you should be concerned about Texas Tech moving forward. They have a very clear NIL plan. Their director of personnel is very talented. I can't remember his name. Really talented guy. They've got their ducks in a row. Now, why he picked LSU, I don't know. I just think he just thought of some team. But ask Patrick Mahomes how that went. He asked for the smoke. Let's get it. So obviously we have a lot of difficult home and homes coming up. Utah in the near future. Well, Carter, you just said Utah is going to be tough. Yeah. Flying out to Utah? Weird elevation, all that? That's going to be a difficult game. Dex, I realized yesterday you didn't call me. I was like, I was supposed to call you. And the funny thing is I stayed up till 1 in the morning. So I'll hit you up a little bit later. Tony says we would take over their stadium. I don't know about that, Tony. How many LSU fans out there are saying, you know what? The one thing missing from my college football experience is Lubbock, Texas. But most LSU fans do make the exotic trips, whether it's a legendary site like Lambeau or the Rose Bowl or anything like that. Actually, no, LSU did not play in the Rose Bowl. I get confused because the 2018 LSU-UCF game, I was covering the Rose Bowl while that game was going on. But LSU-Texas A&M, or Texas Tech, would be a fun matchup. A fun home-and-home. A friendly wager between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes would be fun. But yeah, it's weird, though, when I say, hey, I'm a Caitlin Clark fan. Love me some Caitlin Clark. I think she's great. I really do. I think she is a very special, special, special talent. But nobody can top my love for the LSU GOAT, which is Anissa Morrow. I am glad Anissa's healthy and playing. But Angel Reese, kudos to her. Video game cover. Let's take a few more here. Sibley, great for Angel. Hope she continues to light it up. Pierce says there's a specific Venn diagram overlap for certain Caitlin Clark fans and Angel Reese detractors. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, it's for those crazies out there. But if you ever want to go down like a crazy rabbit hole, really go search for the Angel Reese haters. And you will get depressed really quick, really, really, really quickly. And look, I've also been critical of Angel Reese. I have been. But and it is wild how silent her haters are when she's on this crazy run that she's on. And right now she is on like an all-time heater. All-time heater. Okay. Here's a fun stat from one of the sharpest Vegas minds out there. And I hope you know who reads this. Texas A&M has lost at least 4 games in 24 of the last 26 seasons. And I think one of the seasons that he's referencing is 2020, which was a COVID year. And I think the other one is a Manziel season. And that's it. Let me see. Yeah, COVID year, they went 9-1. And yeah, the Manziel year. There you go. Like, it's just crazy to me how mid Texas A&M is compared to expectation. And I was right. One of the Manziel seasons, 11-2. And then the other was a COVID year, 9-1. Bring back the legendary R.C. Slocum. Or the ghost of R.C. Slocum. Great coach. No, he's still alive, right? Yes. Okay, I remember R.C. Slocum, originally from Louisiana, Oakdale. Bring him back. And talk about a coach. That dude could flat out coach. Maybe he's underrated amongst the all-time college football greats. R.C. Slocum. And once again, this is SWC, Southwest Conference, and Big 12. I mean, look at this. Look at what he did. I'm going to put this back up here. It took somebody from Louisiana to get this done. Look at this. 9-3, 10-2, 12-1, 10-2, 10-0-1, 9-3, 6-6, 9-4, 11-3, 8-4, 7-5, 8-4. 6-6. Dude, R.C. Slocum was freaking good, but he just lost all these Cotton Bowls. They're tired of losing the bowl games. True, Pierce.
That's true.
It's also interesting. Last year, Brad says, R.C. Slocum, very Kevin Sumlin, Jimbo Fisher-like. Start hot, fade away. They were 3-10 against the spread. Yeah, I knew Sibley would know. But The problem with R.C. Slocum is that you have all these other legendary coaches. Like, obviously, Saban, but even like a Mac Brown, you don't think R.C. Slocum. Maybe we don't celebrate him enough for winning the way that he did at Texas A&M. Maybe we don't. That could be an us problem. Ariel. Pierce says Jimbo would have worked out in the long run. No. 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 All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Big thanks once again to our friends at Fast Draft Fantasy. Sign up now using my promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. That is Fast Draft Fantasy. We will have a Lamar Brown video out tomorrow if he does commit to LSU, okay? It is! Power out. LSU. Boom! Tonight! We're doing stakes. Let's go. Let's go.